So I'm chilling at mine the other day, right? And so watching the TV in the front part of the house, you know, right next to the front door. And basically, I start hearing this heavy breathing, right? It was like that type of breathing, right? We're talking scary breathing.
Are you
breathing.
Home alone at this point or what's going that? On? Are you home alone?
Look, no, I think my parents were sleeping, so even worse, right? Yeah. So I'm a bit concerned. I'm thinking, what's going on? Like, I got a cat. Maybe the cat's outside. You know what I mean? I don't know what's going on. I have a look outside, right? I have a look outside. And I couldn't really see anything. There was no one around. I'm like, hey, what are you guys doing? No one's around. And then I look up and there was actually an owl.
Oh, believe it or not.
What? I had a little owl spotting at my residence, which was pretty cool.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Did it turn its head 360? Do one of those tricks?
It did one of these. It did a little head bob at me. So, you know, I thought that was a bit of an acknowledgement of, you know.
It's a salute.
Yeah. Breathing was a peaceful, just loud breathing.
Look, I don't know if the loud breathing was the owl or did it find something and kill it. I don't know what the go is, but.
Was it a messenger owl? Like, are you getting accepted to Hogwarts?
Look, I was hoping that'd be the case, but I didn't get a letter.
Did it have a little thing in its, like, feet?
Nah, look, he looked at me and he's like, yeah, nah, not the guy. not the guy.
Wrong address.
So, yeah, nah, like we're going to Nick Watson's house.
Like, yeah, I was going to say, like, this is for talking shit about Nick Watson, bitch.
Nick Watson actually kicked it, like, kick straight a little bit better.
Can we talk about that briefly? Just, we are actually getting requests in our group chats for shitting on players so they can perform. Obviously, the Watson one worked.
Yep.
Now, we're getting requests for a few other Hawthorn players. I think the Hawthorn mates in the chat are just getting a bit too keen.
Yeah,
specifically, Jimmy Drossos.
Yeah. He's got to calm down. Will Day, you're terrible, man. Your long hair. Get a haircut.
You know, maybe he's been doing a bit meh because I keep talking him up. That might be the thing because I've been talking up Will Day. He's my boy. You know what I mean? So perhaps.
Matt actually talks about Will Day like in every three sentences. How was your day? What are we having for dinner? Will Day.
Speaking of how was your day, it's Will Day.
That's right. He does that nonstop.
Day actually played as well as Matza talks him up, he'd be a Brownlow contender right now.
Legit, man. But anyway, look at this full squad right now, man. Full squad.
First time in probably 6-7 weeks.
Back holding the microphones like we're rappers.
I know, that's true, man. That's true. It's a bit weird, man. It is a bit weird. I do prefer it being held for me. Not gonna lie,
we should get some assistance or someone.
If you'd like to be on the podcast to hold Matt's mic, you're more than welcome to apply.
That would be great.
Email aflenjoyers@gmail.com.
Or just message us in the comments. Or
it is a volunteer job. It's a non-paying job, but look, you know there are benefits.
But you get to see our creative process.
Exactly.
You get to be part of the team.
That's it. Part of the Enjoyers gang. There we go. Let's do we move on to Georgie's?
I think so. And you know what? The funny thing is, before George goes, the last 2 weeks, like usually, and Matza can agree with this, our chat is full of our Carlton mates talking about the game. And I actually quite enjoy it. Like they just sort of, you know, commenting on what's happening in the game. The last 2 weeks, there's been silence. And I'm just thinking maybe are they just sort of absorbed in the moment or they're just repeating the same thing every week because Carlton's putting up the same stuff every week. But I don't know. I'm keen to hear what George has to say. I haven't spoken to Carlton with him for a few weeks.
Look, we did have a couple of that Geelong game a couple of weeks ago. I went absolutely spastic, man.
You did.
And I think losing that game almost kind of made me a bit more chill of a supporter because I was just so desperate for us to keep on that winning form. And I kind of had in my mind that we might be the best team and I just wanted to prove it. And once we lost to Geelong, I was kind of like, okay, we're not just there yet. And I kind of took a step back and said, take it easy, George. There's a whole season to go. Mm. So I haven't been as reactive the last couple of games. But to be honest, I haven't watched live the other games that have come. So Collingwood-Carlton was Good Friday. So I didn't watch that live. Mm. And this game, Carlton versus Melbourne, I was actually at dancing practice because we had a performance at the Palais Theatre the next day, right? Nice. So I
sprinkled it in. There we go.
Elite.
The Palais Theatre, baby.
I'm actually just like, you know, part of the Greek legends performance. You know, it's no big deal. Whatever the case is, obviously we'll check in the score. And I saw that Walsh kicked the first goal and I was up and about. Like he started right. Mm. And then a couple minutes later, we're 18-0. I'm like, oh, baby, it's happening. And then quarter time, we check it, it's 30-0. I'm like, this is amazing. Then it was 36-0. I'm like, we're never, ever going to lose another game. And then naturally, Melbourne brought it back slowly throughout the game. But from what I could tell from the watching it back, it was a very, very strong performance. Mm. Up against a really good team. And we just needed that win, man. like really badly, because we'd lost a couple of close games. We weren't playing bad football, but you need a bit of reward for effort and you need to stay in touch with the best teams. So we did that. Whether the performance was dampened a little bit by the fact that Melbourne clawed their way back, I'm not sure. A lot of it was individual brilliance from Petrarca being just a freak.
Well, 5 goals and they lost. That's probably... Yeah. Has he ever kicked 5 in a game where they've lost?
Probably not.
Has he ever kicked 5 in a game?
Well, I think that was a record, man, from him.
The interesting thing for me is, like, why was he even playing forward in the first place? Because Carlton was so dominant.
Well, he was tagged out of the game from Kennedy.
He was.
So he moved forward and exposed the, you know, the matchup,
yeah,
which is what you need to do. But I honestly think that they should play him forward more often, man. It's just a Dustin Martin, like, progression.
Mm.
They've got other soldiers like Neil Bullen, who plays good when he plays in the midfield, these type of guys.
Mm. Tommy Sparrow.
Tom Sparrow. Other players like Caleb Windsor, who's getting some opportunity.
Mm.
But like he's just like Martin in the way that like no one can one-on-one match up with Petrarca when he's in the forward line. It's just so damaging. So, you know, he put him on their back and tried to claw back the victory. At the end of the day, Carlton gets the 4 points, and yeah, it's important for Carlton's season to get that. But I thought in general it was a pretty strong performance from them. So I'm pretty happy, man.
Fair enough.
Why does Carlton always have to have a close game though? Like,
ask them. Yeah. I think they like the thrill, bro.
My theory is this, yeah. Like, for the longest time, I just thought, looking at Carlton from the underdog perspective, it's like, well, maybe they're just not good enough to kill off the good teams, which is fair enough. Like, you're playing another top four hopeful. So I just think without the, like you mentioned a few times, like the small forwards, like those guys that just kick goals out of nothing, besides Kerno and Mackay, I think teams just always feel like they can get on a run as well. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a very momentum-based sport. Like, I don't think footy's ever been as, like, I don't think momentum has had as much control over these games in previous years. Something about it, like, you're 40 points down, you still think you can win. Like, I don't remember watching footy 5 years ago and thinking that was the case.
But isn't it weird? Like, when's the last time Carlton just fully, fully pumped a team?
No, we haven't. Oh, we beat you guys by 60 points.
That's North, though. That doesn't count.
North?
Besides North.
It's an even competition, though. Like, I think anyone can win on any day. So, I think it's a little bit unrealistic to expect a team to come out and pump everyone all the time. I'd love to see it. But we are talking about teams like we've versus Giants, Geelong, Collingwood, and then Melbourne in the last 4 weeks. So, tough competition. There's going to be times where we versus West Coast, where we versus Saints, where we versus these type of teams. So hopefully, we can pump them and get percentage. But, yeah, at the end of the day, I don't think you can expect to smash Melbourne, especially in like a wet weather game where the conditions tighten up a little bit and, you know, they've got some good wet weather players.
Mm.
So, yeah, I think holding on is massive. I actually thought Alex Chincotta had a really, really good defensive role on Pickett. He only had one touch in the first half. So that's something I'd like to see Carlton explore a little bit more. I actually think Chincotta is actually a pretty good player. So Boyd's getting some opportunity again this year. Hoiny from Champion Data said last week he was the best kick in the AFL. He just comes out with random things like that.
Wow.
So
I think he just wants clicks, bro.
He just wants clicks. But like, you know, if that's the case, obviously we want the ball in his hands a little bit more.
Mm.
I think it's Carlton is one of those teams where they've got a lot of the pieces, but they're just lacking, and I say every week, I'll continue to say it, a little bit of class in certain areas like small forwards, half forwards. Jack Martin comes back this week, clearly a class above. He needs to continue his and get his body right. McGovern comes back, looks okay. So slowly we're getting the pieces to come together. We just need a couple more players to come back, have some consistency, and I think we can build into the second half of the season quite strongly.
Since you're talking about like small forwards and the half forward type position, what are your thoughts on Will Haywood maybe given a huge contract?
It makes sense why they're targeting him. Like, as a half forward, he's consistent. He plays football, like Jack Martin just doesn't play football.
He's out there, what, playing tennis?
No, but Jack Martin just gets injured every 2 weeks.
Fair.
So it's one of those ones where they've identified that that's an area of need for them, and they've targeted a free agent in that space. So it makes sense. I'm for it for sure.
Fair enough.
I've got another question for you. What do you make of Owies and Kemp deliberately shoving their heads into the ground during tackles?
So I don't know what you're referring to the Owies, but when
it happened earlier in the game, but late in the game was the Kemp one.
Kemp one. I honestly thought, I didn't even understand like what the big deal was, to be honest. I didn't even see that as like a direct hit. I don't understand it.
The big deal was that he won the free kick when it wasn't a dangerous tackle, but he made it look more dangerous.
I didn't think
burrowed the head into the ground.
I don't think he made it look more dangerous, bro.
I think he did.
It's in an action.
But look, both of us. It's unnatural to graze your own head into the grass. Like,
I don't know, man. If I was tackled by that guy, I'd probably have my head in the grass as well. Whatever the case is, I think whether it's there or not, I thought the media overplayed that, like, ridiculously.
Look, Dino and I both saw it. Another thing we also saw, let's harp on bad calls a little bit, right? So there was that one. There's also Pitten there, mate. He got away with murder, mate.
Gets away with murder. I had to say that like 10 times during the viewing.
Legit. And maybe it's because Dean has, you know, gone in draft and I had him as the VC. Yeah. But like legit, Pitten there all the time bodying Max Gawn a bit too much for my liking, mate.
Is he just too strong for him?
He's very strong, but yeah. he was like wrestling Gawny a bit much and the refs are letting...
Look, I don't know anything about ruck rules, man, at all.
Well, and neither did I, but neither do any of us, really.
Maybe the umpires don't either.
It looked a bit much, and I reckon the umpire should be paying attention to Pitten it a bit more. Anyway,
he's a bit of a butcher.
Let Pitten it go, man. He's on fire at the moment, man.
Nah, fair. But what if he gave away like 5 free kicks that, you know, should have been paid? Then it, you know, evens out the performance a little bit, I reckon.
Yeah, but it didn't, so he's a gun.
That's fair. Yeah, there you go. Georgie, he's ready for the smoke, man.
Yeah.
He wants the smoke, bro.
I honestly think the amount of competition in the top 6 spots at the moment, any of these teams could win the flag. Now, I don't think Carlton will end up winning the flag this year, but like getting these wins is so critical for a top 4 spot. It's crazy. Like, it's such an even comp, as we said, but we've talked about how hard it is to squeeze in the top 8. Yeah. I think the top 8 this year, every single top 8 team will be able to win the flag. That's how even I reckon it'll end up being. Mm-hmm. Especially if you have teams like Brisbane just sneaking in at the end or whoever it is, right? Mm-hmm. So like that 1-point win is just crucial. So I'm very happy.
Fair enough. I think we'll move on to the Geelong-Port game. And I don't know about you guys, but I didn't want either of those teams to win. I didn't want either of them to draw.
Neither.
Something about these teams, I was like, I don't want to see Geelong keep on doing well. I don't want to see Port do well because of obvious reasons.
I will say this though about Port, right?
Yeah,
the football they played in that first quarter was exceptional. Even me, who's not the biggest fan of them, honestly, I think that's the best quarter any team's played all year. To be honest,
so just Rosie needs to stay out this side. I don't know.
Well, here's the thing, right? So you can tell they just really came into it. Like, we're going to play on. We're going to run. We're going to handball chain. And that's, but we're just going to go with it. And it just, everything worked. The finishes in the 50, unlike last week, the missing everything, scoring everything. It was beautiful stuff.
That's fair.
Well, I mean, we've talked a little bit about Port and how they beat up on weaker teams, but they can't get the job done against like a bigger opponent. They've beat Geelong in Geelong, and I don't think they've done that for like 20 years or something crazy. So it's a huge performance. And like they got up to a 49-point lead, and Geelong clawed it back, fair enough. But yeah, again, it's just like the Carlton one. Even though the other team clawed it back, they got the win, man. And that's massive. I like the fact that they actually tagged Tom Stewart as well. I think it was McEntee that came after him.
McEntee, he's got something to him, man. I mentioned him as a player that North should maybe suss out because he's a small forward who actually put some pressure on. But now if he's going to have that spot sewn up because he didn't have it at the start of the year, man.
Kind of like the role Pal Pepper was playing, but more lockdown, like tagging.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, he's a decent pressure forward. He won that 50-meter penalty. That's probably what you're thinking of as well. That one, you know, someone's got to do it. And Stewart didn't really have that influence that he usually does.
No, he really didn't. And like he's probably their most important player, Stewart. All their ball goes through him. So I like the fact that they targeted him and they said, like, this is the guy we need to stop. And they actually managed to do it.
Yeah. They moved him up to the wing, actually, Tom Stewart.
To get him into the game.
Yeah, it was weird, man. Like, it was odd seeing him at that part of the ground.
I honestly think that we're seeing a little bit of a rise, a little bit of a trend of tagging coming back into the game. And I kind of like it. Like, we'll talk about some other games later, but like Whitfield got tagged off the halfback. Petrarca got tagged in the Carlton Melbourne game. It's almost like we're kind of seeing teams look at who their most critical player is and actually going after them. And I like it because I feel like there was a period of time over the last couple of years where that went away a bit. But I like teams shutting out one player and messing up their game plan. That's what
Jordan
you should do. Clark was tagged as well. That's like a lot of, because so much play comes from the halfback, because it's most of the league play a very transition game. Those type of players are very critical. So,
well, it's the most frustrating thing in the world for me watching a game where your team or any other team would kick the ball up the line and you can just see your Stewart on his own. You can see Sicily on his own, Ryan on his own. It's like, why on earth would you not put a man on him?
Yeah.
It doesn't even need to be a hard tag. Well, just at least even up the contest.
It's only if they feel like their possessions aren't impacting the game. Like, I remember there was a... I think Nick Martin has gotten a bit better at this recently, but in the earlier couple of weeks, he was getting so much of the ball and the opposition coach was like, yeah, we didn't really feel like he was hurting us, even though he had like 40 possessions. Mm-hmm. But like someone like Jordan Clark has had a big year. He's got a really damaging kick. Stewart, all the ball goes through him. So they're looking at these players and going, Whitfield is like sets up all Jiddell versus play, right? So they're going, stop this guy. And suddenly the other team has to think about how they're going to they change their whole game plan around one player.
True. Yeah.
So that's cool to see. I like it, that tactic side.
Mm. Can we talk a little bit about, did you guys see Chris Scott's comments after the game?
No, what's the go?
So there was the decision right before the game ended where they're down that goal that they ended up losing by. And sort of just in the 50, in the Geelong 50, there was a free kick and they played advantage. But it was a bit of a 50-50, is it actually advantage or
not? Oh, yeah, and Cameron kicked the goal.
He kicked the goal eventually, but it was scrappy. It wasn't a clean advantage, right? So the umpire from the first second, I'll credit the umpire, actually said no advantage, but Geelong just kept playing and weren't listening. So after the game, Chris Scott literally, and I actually read the whole transcript, it's almost a five-minute monologue, basically saying, I know I shouldn't talk about umpires after a loss, but... And then just proceeded to complain about this advantage rule. And look, he was doing the typical Scott brother, like kissing up while complaining so that he doesn't get fined sort of thing. Like, I know it's the hardest game in the world to umpire, but
he loves
I know
talk,
the
man.
Umpires are put in a difficult position, but honestly, like the reason you lost this game was not because of that call, which
they
was
were
the
down
right,
49 points.
It was the right call. You were down 49 points at home.
Yeah, exactly.
And well done for catching up and not giving up. I really credit that. But you didn't lose the game because of that call. It was a good call. Umpire made it nice and early, didn't confuse anyone except you. I think that's just piss weak. And they always do this. The fact that Geelong's just hasn't been a bad team is why no one is annoyed with Chris Scott yet. If these guys ever get bad, no one will bear him. He's honestly a big sook. But anyway.
Yeah, he is a huge sook. They're both like that.
Sookie, but anyway.
Him and Brad Scott together, man, they're the same thing.
But exact Brad's gotten thing. A bit more like, political because his team have been bad before and have had bad losses, whereas Chris Scott's mainly been a winning coach. So no one's seen that side of him, but you saw, I don't know, you saw it in this one and I just think it's just weak. Like
I think it's weak. I don't
talk
think,
about the first quarter. I don't know.
Well, I think if you're a supporter, you don't want to see your coach say those type of things and make excuses for that. You want to say, yeah, that wasn't good enough when we started. Go to work on those areas.
Correct.
If you're blaming the umpires, it makes you think that like you didn't think you did anything wrong.
And the thing is, right, like because it was a 50-50 advantage, say that they paid the advantage and then that 50-50 kick went straight to a Port player, are you going to complain that you didn't get a kick at goal in your 50? No, you would have wanted it and said, why'd they pay advantage?
Yeah.
So just shut up, honestly. Like, I don't appreciate that.
I agree with that, man.
Yeah. Anyway.
Interesting thing. So we'll go on to the next one. But the weird thing with these two games being at the same time, right? I don't know how you guys
hated it
as well, right? The thing with it, right, is when I was watching, so I was watching first, obviously, the Geelong Port game, that was first. It got to about, you know, I don't know, maybe midway through the second quarter, I thought the game was over, right? So I started watching the other game, right? That game was over in the first, like, what, quarter and a half as well?
Yep.
So then I stopped watching that. But the time I went back to watching the Port Geelong game, it was already close again. I'm like,
you missed the comeback.
I missed the comeback. I missed all the good stuff. So I'm like, I don't know. I feel like that Friday situation was just poorly.
I just think, generally speaking, like, for the viewership's sake, I don't know why they put two games on at the same time.
I think they did it for Mother's Day because they only had two games today.
They definitely did. And we what's it called? We made that, you know, assessment in another group chat that we're in, right?
Chris wasn't happy.
Chris, our mate Chris Michaels, not happy with, you know.
Fair enough. I agree with him.
Yeah.
Fair
Mother's enough. Day, you know, getting in the way of, you know, enjoying AFL. You know, he got really pissed, you know.
He's not a mother.
True. If he was a mother, maybe he'd understand. But yeah, nah, I agree with Chris Michaels. It wrecked the week in the footy a little bit.
But speaking on that other game, so firstly, RIP Cam McCarthy. Very sad, man.
I think with this game, I don't even want to read too much into it, to be honest with you, from the Fremantle perspective, because how can you – I'm surprised they even played the game.
Well, Longmuir said a lot of players didn't want to play.
Yeah. Look, did you see like Fife and Pierce before the game?
Yeah.
That man. Like, and then afterwards, you know, they did a nice little tribute at the end.
It's sad,
man. They shouldn't have had to have gone through that.
Yeah.
Because it was the – They found this the next day. Or was it the same day they found out?
It was the same day, man. It was either the same day or the day before. I'm 100% sure.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, anyway, you know, credit to the Swans. They did what they needed to do. You know, like, they're not, you're not going to not rock up and play footy.
No.
But the game, yeah, no. It's a soured game.
The only thing to say about the game, really, if we're going to just talk about the football, like, at halftime, it's 9-0 to 1-8. Like, clearly.
They're actually stat-wise, we're actually even. I think three-quarter time, like, Freo was even up on all the main stats by a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Just, it's literally just like one team didn't miss and one team missed everything.
Yeah. Mm. 4-15-13-9. So, they only had three more scoring shots and won by, you know, almost 50 points. Yeah, so
that's crazy.
You know, it is what it is. Look, yeah, there's not too much to analyze in this game regardless. Like, I think the good players sort of stood up on both sides, but the kicking inaccuracy makes it so hard to evaluate because the scoreboard pressure was there all game long.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Well, they definitely tried hard for you.
Mm. Well, I guess, you know, if we're going to get a talking point out of this, right, is Sydney are now 25% and a game clear at number one.
Definitely the best team in the comp. I think this is the best start Sydney's had in a very long time. I saw some like headline of like crazy start that they've had. So
they only lost one game to Richmond.
Yeah, just Richmond.
That's a weird loss as well.
Yeah, jeez. True. And then Freo, just they topple out of the eight. They're ninth at the moment, but it's going to be a tough one to get back in. I'll tell you that.
Freo, look, I know this is a anomaly to kick so inaccurately, but look, their forward line is not good enough. Like you look at Jai Amos, he's young and everyone knows he's a good player, but there's not enough damaging players in that forward 50. Like you're saying about Carlton needing a few more like to finish the job. They're another two levels below that, in my opinion. So
I think on their day, if Treacy kicks 3-4, you know.
He's been good, Treacy. Yeah,
yeah, when he has his good game, that's fine. Luke Jackson played the full game in the ruck, so there's another forward type ruck. He can pitch in with his couple goals here and there as well. So, you know, sort of mucks up their structure.
I don't know what you're getting each week, though. Like one week it'll be Jackson kicking three, then Treacy, then Frederick. Like they need a bit more consistency overall.
Yeah, that's a fair call. That's a fair call.
But yeah, look, not too much more to say, to be honest. Mm. The next game, however, I've got quite a bit to say.
Okay.
Hawthorn beating the Saints, right?
Yeah.
5-point win in the end. I'm mainly wanting to talk St Kilda here. So before we do that, let's talk a bit of Hawthorn, give them the flowers.
Yeah.
3 wins out of the last 4 for the Hawks.
Yeah, and that loss was a Sydney.
So obviously beating North got the momentum going. And then some 2 back-to-back impressive wins. We got to talk about it.
Yeah, Nick Watson, mate. I think he's reaffirmed his wizard status.
If you can get like a graphic, like a meter up. I know that's asking a lot of you.
Yeah, no.
Let's just picture it. It's not going to be there.
It's not happening. It's not happening. But he's in the.
If anyone's watching on YouTube, my hand's sort of like going up. He's gone from like, what did we say last week? Mudblood.
But you got to do it the other. Oh, so mudblood. Yep, and then up.
He's gone up a bit. He's entering. Back to wizard.
Look, that was a wizard game. That was a wizard game. The thing is, because we're going by the level of he was a muddle up before we kind of got
it. He's sort of halfway.
Half blood.
Maybe 60% of the way to wizard, I reckon.
Yeah, no, he's getting it. He's getting it.
Yeah, no, that goal from 50 was great. It reminded me of Brent Harvey. How he'd be on the mark. He'd be setting up for goal from about 50 and then just play on. You know he's playing on.
Yeah. I love how like the umpires are like, oh, he thinks he's got this. And they're just probably all kind of like... You know, just chuckling in the commentator's box. And there's like,
that was like a Calvin Cambridge dunking in like Mike situation.
Oh, that's a good call. That's a good call, man.
A short guy as well, like to get that momentum.
Oh, it was great.
Mm.
I would say in this game, and this is what I wanted to talk about overall, right? So there was a few weeks ago when Hawthorn beat North. And in the lead up to that game, all the Hawthorn supporters I know are talking like this is battle of the same teams, you know, we're both equally bad. Let's see who's worse. I wasn't buying it. I knew North was the worst team and I didn't tip North confidently that week. But let's look at the Hawthorn list, right? And there's actually way more players that are ready AFL season footballers. They might not be like 200 game players, but they're 50 plus game players that are actually AFL bodies, right?
Mm.
Newcomb, big body. Meek, big boy. Mm. Amon, Scrimshaw. These guys have been in the system a while.
Yeah,
Day, Hardwick,
Impey,
Nash, Moore, Impey, just going down, Frost, Bruce, Warple,
Sicily,
Gunston. So most of their team has been in the league a little while now, at least 3-4 years, right? If not more. And then they've got those few young kids like McDonald, McKenzie, Watson, Kelsha Dio, who's looking pretty good, by the way. So for me, Hawthorn has been like the same the last few years, and they're proving it again this year. Taking some big scalps, some disappointing games. Big scalp, disappointing games.
Yeah, I think they're probably the most inconsistent team just about in the AFL, which, you know what, I would take that as a North fan. I would take inconsistent, but at least you win a couple games. You know,
and
what
that's
I mean?
Because they have those senior players. And again, they might not be 200 game senior players, but they're senior enough to win some games, right? Mm.
And this was done without Sicily as well.
Correct. Mm. So, then the reason I compare it to North, because like count North senior players on your hand, like McDonald, Corr,
Shields,
Greenwood. That's about it. And LDU's been in the system a few years. Yeah, there's Larky-ish, a couple more like that. Yeah. Larkies.
Yeah, but it's unfair to give, you know, those younger dudes, even Larky,
as a senior. There's at least double on the Hawks, who people see as maybe the second worst team bar Richmond recently. So anyway, well done to Hawks though. They've got Port in Adelaide next week. So if they can take a massive scalp there, that'd be crazy. And they did beat them there 2 years ago, if you guys remember that. That was one of their first big impressive wins, which under Mitchell.
Port. Against Port.
Oh, okay.
In Adelaide. So,
there you go. Maybe that's...
I think it's unlikely they win that game, by the way, but just to spoil the party. But
you never know, man. You never know.
That would be crazy.
Let's talk a bit of Saints, though.
What? Can you work out what's wrong with these two? There's only one thing I can think of that makes them bad. They can't score at all. Like, their average score is like 60 points.
Why not, though? Like, they've got King, Membry, Owens.
It might just be the way that they kick the ball into 50.
Mm.
It looked really inefficient.
Yeah,
it's disgusting.
Look, I don't think King is probably, like, he went crazy. We were talking about it earlier. He went crazy to start the year, but I actually don't think he's that good, like we think, to be honest with you. He's not taking as many contested marks that you'd be hoping. You know, last week, Aiden Corr beat him. Aiden Corr, you know, so it's like, I think, you know, obviously he's young and he, you know, the key forwards take a bit of time to develop, but he's really out of form. I'll tell you that, you know.
I think it's a bit of that.
Shout out to Chris Michaels. He's been calling him out as well.
Yeah, that's what I like about Chris. He's not afraid to criticize St. Kilda's best players.
Yeah, or even the high potential players.
Yeah.
Like he says, Filippo's the worst player. He calls him the worst player. And you know what? He has high potential. Oh, he could be like Bond. Mm. But actually, you're right. He's the worst player right now. Like he hasn't been great. He didn't play this game, but he hasn't been great at all.
Well, for me, the Saints, right? Like, I was, and I said it on the pod last week, if you guys remember, I wanted to tip Hawthorn this week. I just doubted that they would back up 2 weeks in a row, given their inconsistency. But I was not impressed by St Kilda against North. Mm. I thought that if we were a half-decent team, they were there for the taking.
Yeah, 100%.
And a lot of their wins this year have been closer wins, and then they're losing every close game. I can't remember the stat that I had seen, but they've lost a lot of close games.
I think they've only won one of them.
You think of the Giants game, the Geelong game, this game. They're losing a lot of games, and like you can say, well, they're in the game, so that's a good thing, right? But the wins that aren't there, they're not going to make the eight.
Yeah,
it's already over.
They make it like they're meant to be like a defensive team, so they make it like a bit of like a tight scoring contest where like both teams are scoring low, and that's why they keep it tight. But they can't score themselves.
Mm.
Like they literally just kick 60 points, 70 points every round. That's just not enough.
No.
So they've got to find avenues to do that. And they've got some players in form, like Steele's playing well. Like they've got some of these players that are winning the ball. You know, a lot of their backline, like Naziah is getting the ball, Bonner's getting a lot of the ball, but I don't know if they're doing a lot with it. So it's a little bit wasted possessions maybe. I don't know. They just got to find a way to be a bit more attacking, get more flair in their game. I don't know.
And when they were at their best in the last year or two under Ross Lyon, they were playing pretty attacking football, fast football.
Mm-hmm.
I can think of a lot of goals just running into the open square because they'd outrun a team or whatever. So it was surprising. I would have thought the Hawthorns sort of turnover game and inconsistency would have meant that they just had a lot of freedom going forward, but it was a really shitty game to watch, to be honest.
Yeah, like, no, it was.
Wasn't pretty.
It was tough. It was a tough one to watch.
The other thing is Hawks actually missed a couple of pretty easy chances in the second half. Mm. Like missing, like there was one where Jack Kinnevin, I think, missed a goal directly in front after he'd been kicked to him from a kick-in.
Yes, from Marshall. I remember that one. Yep.
And it's like, bro, it's close, but...
You wonder why I was zeroing on Marshall so much.
What I'm saying is like it was a close game, but like you kick a goal directly in front and it changes that margin significantly and looks even worse on them. So they've got problems and they're the clear faller from the eight last year. Mm. There's no way they're making the eight this year. So they've made room for one team at least. But.
Yeah, and they were losing the whole game, really. I'm having a look at the scoring room. They brought it back down under 5 points a few times, but they never actually got the lead against Hawthorn, which is crazy.
You know what? Something with St Kilda right now, because I think that their list, I think generally it's they're at the bottom at the moment right now. The list, it's not looking good. All they've got some good senior players, right? But what does it take for a club to pinch someone like a Marshall? Like, should they be shopping Marshall, 28 years old, still late 20s as well?
I don't know.
Are they at that point now?
They've just made the finals, and I feel like they've recruited in a way that says that they think they're better than they're playing. Like, you go and get Henry over the last few years, you've got...
But he's young, though. It's not like you didn't just pick him up to win finals games.
I don't think they've got okay youngsters. Like, they're young. Mm. They're under 21s are all right.
Yeah, and that's what I'm thinking. Like, do they need to reshuffle their plans? Because you're right, the young guys... There's Wilson, there's Owens, Philippou, you know, obviously we've
he's only second year playing.
Yeah,
man.
He's bad, but that's fine, you know. He might get there. I think there's a few more young guys.
Win Hager,
Wangan Malera.
Yeah.
There's a lot of decent young guys. Do they need to just reassess where they're at?
I don't know. I think it's got something to do with their game style. I think it's more of a coaching thing. I don't think the players are that bad.
I don't know. When you make the eight, it's sort of like Frio 2 years ago, like making the eight and then
they did
bad the next year, regressing. Yeah. That's what they're doing this year. They're regressing. Maybe they'll just reload next year and go again.
Maybe.
Like, yeah. Frio's been a half-decent team this year.
They have.
Not great, but, you know.
Mm. Anyway. Who knows? Anyway. Now, we have to give some kudos to Essendon.
Don't make me do it, man.
Can I just say, I fully appreciate, and we're referring to Zumi in the chat. He's given a voice memo. He wants some respect for Essendon, right?
Yeah.
I will give it. I will give it. And I will... put my hands up and say Essendon beating the Giants in such a convincing manner, keeping the Giants to 62 points. Yep. Excellent performance, right? Yeah. But they haven't really deserved it until now. This is the statement win.
You're right. You're right. This is a statement.
I get it. I'll give it 100%. Yeah. Well done. And actually, I've enjoyed watching Essendon play this year, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Their movement is, you know, it's fun, man.
They've got an identity.
They do.
For the moment. They're playing consistent footy. Mm. This is the win, though, to make me say, okay, I think they can actually play finals now. They're holding it up with the big boys. Yeah, so well done.
100%. I mean, they're third.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That and is this crazy. Is round nine. This is not round two. Mm-hmm. So they probably can make finals, which is crazy, considering it's so hard to get in. But maybe Saints paved the way for Essendon to come in. I don't know.
That's true.
I thought it was a pretty, a very, very tough win from Essendon. And what was interesting about it is they beat GWS in the stoppage, right? And that's actually the same way that Carlton beat GWS a couple of weeks ago. So that looks like that's the way that you can kind of beat the Giants, is if you're just too tough around the clearances and you can score from that, then you've got a clear advantage over them. So that was one interesting way that they won. I thought, again, as I spoke before, they tagged out Whitfield and they moved Whitfield all over the ground to get him into the contest, on the wing, in the middle, all over the place. So he's a key cog for them, and Guelphy just shut him out. Green and Kelly were working hard in the middle, but there was just so much pressure on them all the time, like it couldn't be clean. So really strong performance. And Kyle Langford, I'm happy that he's kind of found a position in Essendon where he can contribute.
He's been great.
He was a high draft pick, meant to be a midfielder. He never became that, injury after injury after injury. Now he's like a consistent goal kicking forward. So good on him.
Yeah.
It gives me confidence, just quickly on him, that when you have like a medium forward on your team, often, I don't know how you guys feel about medium-sized forwards, but I don't really think there's too much excitement with them. Like, the small forwards are exciting, the key forwards are exciting, the mids, only the really good ones
seem to give
value and get a bit of buzz. But it makes me, like, I look at like an Eddie Ford at North, like, I like Eddie Ford, but it's always like, how good can he be? Like, this is sort of like what you want in an ideal world. He's been great, Langford. Like, really great.
Like I said, other dudes like Dersma as well and Zuha. Look at this guy, man. Look at what Langford's doing.
Exactly.
What I did want to mention, because you did bring up Guelphy. Did you guys say the reason why he did the celebration?
No.
Something to do with some kid that was sick.
Yeah, you know, the kid actually painted those nails for him.
No,
so cool. I thought that was really cool, man. When I saw that backstory, I'm like, all right, I like this, man.
Okay.
Shout out to Guelphy, man. Shout out to Guelphy.
Shout out
to Guelphy. Flowers to Guelphy, actually. He actually had a great game, man.
He kind of won the game.
Yeah, he kicked three goals and then he shut out Whitfield while he was at it, you know. That's actually like an A-plus game for a role player.
100% it is.
One thing that's crazy about the game too is like the Giants came out firing. They actually had the early ascendancy. So Essendon's really gone from, I think it was halfway-ish through the second. Yeah, they were down 33-11, sort of about halfway through. And then from that point onwards, the Giants were on 33 points. They only ended with 62. So they only scored 30 more points in 2.5 quarters.
Their pressure went up like crazy.
Nuts.
I also, like, you speak of those medium forwards. Someone that is a medium forward that's considered one of the best in the game, Toby Green. had a very poor year so far.
He's not doing much. He's not doing.
He's doing nothing, man.
Yeah, I don't know. What do they have to do to get him more involved? Like,
get him in the midfield, maybe. I don't know. Yeah. Do something different. Mm-hmm. Like, this guy's one of the best players in the comp. He's had no impact this year, mm-hmm. unless I'm mistaken, and he's been kicking goals I haven't seen.
I think because they're so talented, and in the forward line they've got a lot of options. I think he's sort of taken a back seat. Like, he doesn't feel like he needs to carry them anymore. But I think when the finals come around, like post bye, and they're really getting serious, I think he's going to have to say, you know what, I'm not going to be unselfish now. I need to just take the game.
Yeah,
you know, by the scruff of the neck and kick a few.
Maybe it's because they just have more options in the forward line.
That's what
they
I'm can saying.
Give it
yeah.
to. Yes. Sorry for ourselves.
That's all right.
Sometimes I don't listen. But yeah, nah.
Maybe it's because other people are also carrying the load in the forward line. Did you guys say that?
Oh, man, I'm bad.
No, you're all good.
Nah, it's, yeah. Look, I'm glad you guys can carry this pot, man. I'm tired as. Legit, it's nice having two people to carry the load, you know, and then I'll do the editing later and, you know, we've got the, you know.
It's all kumbaya.
That's it, man. The team effort's crazy, man.
Flowers for the Bombers, man.
Yeah, flowers for the Bombers. Flowers for Zumaki.
You know who there's no flowers being given to at all?
Yeah.
Tigerland, mate. Swan Street, there's not one flower on Swan Street at the moment after that performance.
Well, do you remember my comments last week to the Richmond fans? Just relax, download the Coates League app like I do, and every week just click on every game and click on the highest disposal getters and the goal kickers and just see which youngsters are popping off.
Yeah,
that's it,
and
man.
And start studying footy stuff on YouTube. Start watching highlights.
100%.
It's actually therapeutic.
Yeah, look, enjoy. I feel good knowing that we're going to get the next Patrick Cripps in Josh Smiley next year. You know, it's going to be sick, you know.
And well, they might beat you to it the way they're going, Tigers.
Then, look, mate,
one win. They've only had one win, man.
One more than Northland's.
Exactly. There's a few dudes out there. Finn O'Sullivan, Jagger Smith.
Nah. There's enough there for the Tigers to get excited about, in my opinion.
They haven't had a high draft pick other than Gibkiss, like, in ages, right? Mm-hmm. They traded out those picks for Taranto and Hopper. Mm-hmm. So I think they're probably bottom three, the Tigers. Mm-hmm. I mean, their injury list is just crazy. And they had more injuries, like Graham, a hamstring again. Rioli, Morris Rioli, that is, hurt his leg. Sam Banks, concussion. Mm-hmm. Bolton tweaked his ankle early but came back. Like, they're just, maybe they ran over a black cat or something, these guys. But, like, they're struggling. Like, if you've got 10 of your best players out, I don't know what you expect.
Exactly.
But yeah, I don't think you expect a 100-point loss either. So,
well, they are playing the biggest flat track bullies in the entire league.
That's true.
Maybe in the history of the AFL, in the Bulldogs.
Yeah, and then they had the pressure on them as well. So, you know, they really needed to.
The Bulldogs, I'll give them this, man. When a team is down, they really know how to rub it in.
They do, man.
North gets spanked by them constantly. St. Kilda the other week, spanked.
You would have thought that, like, what's his name? Bruce was out there kicking Josh six Bruce. Again. Oh. Remember Josh
six.
Bruce?
Didn't he kick 10, bro?
Man, no, 10.
He went crazy.
We were at that game. We were walking out of it. We left. That's the first time me and Matto have left.
Yeah, I know.
And as we're leaving, we hear the roar again and we check Bruce. He's kicked his 10th. We were fuming, bro.
Is he the worst player to ever kick 10 goals?
Yes. 100%.
Yeah, that's fair. That's 100%. Cool. Yeah, I'm sure we'll do some research about that later. Someone tell us who's the worst player to get 10 goals. But Bruce must be up there.
Yeah. Look, you're right, though. The Dogs, they feasted, man. Everyone had a good game. Mm. What I really liked, though, was Ed Richards in the midfield. He's been doing it a couple of weeks in a row now, but I feel like this was his most complete performance. Mm. He just looks like a natural midfielder, though. He's balanced. He's tough. He's got power. I like him in that spot. I don't know what they'll do with him with Libba coming back eventually, but I think that one of those things where Bevo likes to play players out of position, but he might have actually got one right here. Well,
that's what I was going to say. Like, trust in Bevo to have Treloar. Libba wasn't in, fair enough. Bont drafted a young gun, Riley Sanders, and he's like, you know what? This is the year for Ed Richards. Like, well, Libba goes out, everyone's like, oh, Sanders will come back in. No, Ed Richards. No,
but this is the thing. Like, Ed Richards is like the best 22 player anyway, right? But Harms is not. Now, Harms had a day out, kicked his first goal for the Dogs and kicked another couple.
Kicked his first four goals for the Dogs.
Four, right? So. But Riley Sanders, I just saw before the pod, had 42 possessions and 10 clearances in the VFL. And he's not playing over Harms.
And what a game to bring him in, like, against the weak Richmond midfield, get some confidence into him. Like, it is questionable, but also it worked. So
it worked, but they won by 100 points, man. You could have put me in the forward pocket. I would have kicked some goals in that game, bro. Surely, man.
Look, I would love to see
a little bit of insight, possibly, right? There's a Bulldog supporter at my work. He reckons, right? You know, Jamara, he didn't get a game really after, in his first year, he didn't get many games, right? He might have played a couple games, and then out. He reckons Sanders is in the bad books, man. He reckons he's in the bad books. He's going to let him play the VFL for the year, basically.
Why? What did he do?
Because he had a little sook on the bench when he got subbed off. Remember when he had that little, you know, yeah, he had that little hissy fit? Bevo's old school, man. You know, he's may not get a, who knows?
I'll tell you what, Bevo won't be there next year, so it won't matter.
Yeah, true, true. And so, and Sanders will leave as well, come to North. You know.
That's wishful thinking.
We should have had academy access to him anyway, man, but whatever. Mm.
Yeah, so if Bevo stays, you know, Sanders is gone.
Yeah, not too much else to say, really. Like, the key forwards had their way with the Reek Richmond defense. Yeah,
everyone looked
midfielders
good.
Had their way. Yeah. Everyone looked
that was Darcy's best game as well, 4 goals. You know,
anyone from Richmond to shout out? Not really, eh? Jeez.
Nah.
Prestia didn't do his hammy.
Nah. You know, you know,
congratulations, Prestia.
Yeah, shout out Prestia. But you know,
it could happen at training this week, so we don't know.
True, all right, I'll hold
your tongue.
Yeah, true. Mate, none of their players got a 90 Supercoach score.
Can you is that the worst Supercoach ratio you've ever seen?
That's probably worse, but it was pretty bad.
Yeah, no, legit. They just...
they didn't touch the ball, man.
Yeah, I think the high score was 89.
Did you guys see that Treloar goal from the boundary?
I can't remember.
I didn't say any, to be honest.
Yeah. It was crazy.
I didn't watch this game.
You know what I say about Treloar? He's been a pretty unlucky player throughout his career, like trading and missing flags, missing this and that.
Yeah, true.
But he's still a gun. And I think he's almost an underrated player because he performs... if he's not injured with soft tissue injuries, he performs week in, week out. Dominates. He's not going to win another All Australian. This guy, right?
He probably won't. But the thing is,
but like he's still that caliber player.
Yeah, look, I think he is. But because you play with Bont and Libba,
you're
never going to get that appreciation.
I just think he's one of those players that like he's going to continue throughout his career, the whatever years he has left to dominate, and he's just not going to get any like vote, coaches votes, Brownlow votes, All Australians. But he just still dominates, mate. He's a gun.
Yeah, so like it's like what's his name? It's like Dunkley not having an All-Australian.
Yeah,
that is ridiculous to me.
Well, Wiedering doesn't have one either. It's crazy.
Really?
There's some players that just get snubbed, man. Mm. I mean, Pendlebury never got a Brownlow.
Yeah,
there's some players that just miss out. Bont doesn't have a Brownlow.
Yeah, jeez, Boomer didn't get a Brownlow. He should have had one. He should have had at least three.
Richmond do better next time.
Yeah, there's been a lot of meh games this week, man. I'll look at it.
Well, let's talk about the next meh game.
Yeah, next meh game.
North.
Yeah.
Consistent as ever.
I almost forgot about that
Matt has just like skipped through that one.
Yeah, no. Look, there's not much to say about that game, really. Not much, really. Yeah.
Can I offer a few thoughts, right? So we know that North's biggest issue is unanswered goals and like teams getting on a run and kicking too many goals too quickly, right? I want to let you guys know, halfway through the third quarter, right? So we're pretty deep into the game at this point. It was 24 points the difference. I'm not saying North looked like winning. I'm not saying like they had a lot of behinds, Gold Coast. Like it was probably a flattering scoreline anyway. But nonetheless, 24 points, right? Mm. Then to end the third and start the next quarter, there were 6 unanswered goals. So there's another run. And then in the fourth quarter, there was 4 goals in 8 minutes. So that's 10 goals that happen in a very quick amount of time, which is why the scoreline ballooned out to, what, like 70 points at one point?
Yeah.
And then we brought it back a little bit as we do.
Yeah, brought it back to 68. Well done.
That's the issue, well right? Done, like, there were some things that I'm liking lately, like McKercher, back-to-back 30 disposal games, Sheasel more in the midfield, LDU, bit of a spring in his step, Common looking good. Yeah. Like, there's things that I'm actually seeing in the stats, like, yes, good. That's what we want to see. Mm. But the scorelines are just not looking good at the
What's
moment.
Your average losing margin?
It's been about 50-60 points, which is what I will say. Like, obviously, the percentage is horrendous.
56.
I'm actually glad that to this point, we haven't been on the receiving end of like an 80-100 point flogging, which for the youngest team in the league and a team as bad as us, like, you would expect one of them to happen by now. So I'm actually pretty okay with that not happening.
Yeah. And you know, if of all weeks, this week could have happened in Darwin.
Yeah.
Those dewy conditions.
Like the Bombers this week, right? Mm. Obviously, we're going to tip Essendon. Should do it to us. 80-point win if they're that good. There's the challenge.
Yeah, true. True. Anyway. Smack North by 100. First team to do it wins the premiership.
Have you versed Sydney yet?
No,
it's gonna be that's gonna
that's
be
gonna ugly. Be the one
that's you gonna reckon? Be ugly, man. Yeah.
Although we almost beat them last year, bro. If it wasn't for that interchange,
that's
shit.
True. That's
yeah,
true.
Yeah,
we had their ass. Mm. Anyway, sorry, I'm getting a bit aggressive talking about that game.
I gotta say you're right about LDU. He did look back to his explosive best. He just can't kick it into the 50, you know. Well, but I don't know if that's his fault or if that's just you know someone's got to tell him, hey, lower the eyes. Hey, we're going to have someone leading to you. You know, because a lot of time they're leading into pockets and they just, it's like you have to hit the exact perfect kick to get it to the guy. It's just not going to happen.
No chemistry in the forward.
Yeah, there's no chemistry. Yeah.
Did Simkin get dropped or was he injured?
Mystery injury.
Yeah.
I reckon dropped and rightfully so, to be honest with you.
That's what I was going to say.
Captain's dropping.
That's fair. That's fair. Look, I hope that, I kind of hope that's the case. I'd rather him not be hurt and it'd be that type of situation where, you know, you got to, you know, put the line in the sand and say, hey, not good enough, man. Because he hasn't been good enough.
No.
He's been shocking. He's probably been worse than Luke McDonald.
Well, he has. And as a North fan, like, would we rather see how many, sorry, just real quick check. Would we rather see Will Phillips getting 19 disposals or Jai Simkin? I'd rather throw every last chance at Will Phillips that we drafted at pick three and just really make sure that there's no player in there. Then giving his no, let's be real, right?
the way he worded that was so good.
We want to make sure that we try everything with his kid.
Yeah, that's
because
fair.
He does have talent, but he's not getting the opportunity because guys like Simkin are getting 15 disposals. It's not good enough.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
I mean, Tom Powell, I think, got more midfield minutes as well by him being gone. 7 clearances for him, so
yeah,
something as well.
Thanks, man.
Anyway, no probably problem. The shortest. Do we need to say anything about Gold Coast? Like, they just beat up on North.
I don't
end,
think
like,
so, man.
Yeah, no.
The other player that, speaking of tagging, Rao is getting a lot of treatment last couple of weeks, and he's not performing to the same level. Like, he gets a lot of tackles, but he's just not getting the ball. So they're putting a lot of work on him at the stoppages. So that's this is another example of that.
Yeah. You know, if we're going to mention anyone, say, look, because they always seem to have someone new, Gold Coast. This week, the new guy was Alex Davies. He looked actually really good in the guts, man. Like, he had 10 tackles and 18 disposals, but he really did the grunt work that you would have thought Rao would have done.
I like Davies, sort of, man. I think he's a good player.
And he looks quick. You know what I mean? He doesn't look like just like a lumbering type inside guy. He's got a bit of, you know, agility and quickness to him. So, yeah, there's your shout out to a young guy who got his opportunity this week.
Yeah, and another continuation from Klohesi.
Oh, man, he was excellent, man.
A couple of goals
as well. He was excellent. He was great for my super coach as well. Which I'm waiting. I'm waiting for it to update because I want to see if I got the weekly score, man. 2.563.
For anyone, this pod's going to come out after we obviously learn this, but Mats has been talking up. He thinks he's the top scorer this week in Supercoach.
Look, he thinks of 200,000 players, he's got the top score. It's very unlikely.
I honestly think I'm in the top like 30 or something.
But if he does, that you're splashing that $1,000 on us, man. That's champagne, fine. Lobster.
That's it, man. All the boys. Let's
for the
go.
Boys, man.
That's it, man.
Lobster
That's
dinner.
It. Done. It. Lobster dinner. Hey, sorted, man. Sorted. But legit, like, I need to know. I can't wait.
It'll probably happen at 8 p.m., so we're 5 minutes to go.
Maybe.
What other games
there's a countdown.
We've got two more games in 5 minutes. We'll do it. Right. So Collingwood smacked up the Eagles.
Another riveting match, man. Yeah. Wow.
Look, Harley Reid got a nice specky at one point. That great was kind of a nice little mark there. Had a nice couple of little progressions, but it was the Nick Dacos show, man.
It was, man. He was everywhere.
Captain for my super coach, man.
He was
good
there.
Bloke.
Everywhere, man.
He had a really good game. Look, Joe Richards, shout out to him, man. He's a nice little player, man. He's clean, you know what I mean? So I feel like every time the ball went forward, it was always him plucking a mark and, you know, being the one who would, you know, then re-enter it into the 50, you know, to set someone up. He had a really good game. I like his.
It did.
I like that.
All the injuries sort of unearthed a few gems. Yeah. Maybe not gems, but guys got opportunities.
So 3 goal assists and 8 scoring involvements for Joey Richards, small forward.
This was another game though, right? I like looking at the scoring worm, right? So in the second quarter, it was 36-19. So somewhat competitive game. Then Collingwood goes and kicks 6 goals in 11 minutes.
Yeah.
So, that ended the game there and then.
Yeah.
They were so precise when they were doing that, though. Like, it's just the kick from D50 to half forward, kick half forward to forward pocket goal.
Yeah.
Shin, thoughts on this, right? So, having watched that game, I think Elliot Yeo is probably like a 30 or 40 point swing.
Well, I think he is, yeah.
Yeah, right. So, he's missing, right? And how long does he have to go?
I'm not sure how long his injury is.
I'm saying just in general, his career. What has he got? 3, 4 years?
Maximum.
Right? Maximum, right? Mm-hmm. I think West Coast need Harley Reid more than what North does. Is that a crazy statement?
Well, they've got Ruben Jinmi in the middle.
Yeah.
And then now Reid. And they have Yeo.
And then?
Yeah, that, yeah. Not many others are.
I guess it's Oscar Allen and Waterman.
No, but in the midfield, like on ballers.
Yeah, yeah. But just I'm just thinking just for the team in general. Because after, so Waterman and Oscar Allen, right? Other than that, the list is kind of, it's pretty bare, man, in my eyes. So I think, they're lucky that they got him, to be honest with you.
Yeah, of course.
I think the, not having him in the midfield, I don't think Tim Kelly had the best game either. And suddenly they're just exposed. Mm. They don't have any depth in that leadership area. So, yeah.
Sheed has had his moment as a footballer, and I think he's done now, to be honest with you. It was funny seeing all the them booing him as well during the game, which is fair enough. You know, he cost them a premiership. But, yeah, look, Collingwood back to their best, man. They're back to their best.
Yeah, they were punishing. One other player I'd like to shout out was like Jack Crisp. I think he's super damaging midfielder. You get this opportunity when players like Tom Mitchell and Degoe are out. But I honestly think I'd like to see him play way more midfield minutes than he is at the moment. Mm. I like him a lot.
I think he suits Collingwood's game plan more than Mitchell does, quite frankly. So,
yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do with Mitchell, whether they bring him back or not. Degoe clearly comes back in. But, yeah, Mitchell or Crisp, I'm taking Crisp for midfield minutes.
Fair enough. And even like McRae had a half-decent game. You know, so there's some competition for spots there. I don't know. It was against West Coast, so I guess it's kind of like you can't get too ahead of yourself.
West Coast at Marvel as well. What a random matchup. Collingwood, West Coast, Marvel.
I don't know. I was saying that it should have been at the MCG for Harley Reid's home game, but, you know, or first Collingwood game, sorry.
It's kind of a whatever game, man.
Yeah, it's true.
But the other one wasn't. Brisbane and Adelaide.
Mate, that was the most neck and neck game of the year, just about.
Well, yeah, it had draw written all over it, didn't it? Like every quarter, you're under a goal. You know, no team could really break out of it.
No.
And it looked like Brisbane was going to break out in the last quarter. Got a couple of goals ahead and Adelaide clawed it back. Credit to them.
Who does it sort of like, is it good that Brisbane came close to Adelaide away from home with all those outs? Or is it Adelaide, oh, well done, you know, Brisbane were, you know, what, they'll run us up last year. Who takes the, like, you know, the positives out of
it? Who's happier with a draw sort of thing?
Yeah. I think Adelaide's happier, man.
So you still rate Brisbane as a top-notch squad, is what you're saying?
Well, whether I rate them or not, that's their expectation, right?
Yeah.
So I, for some reason, thought that they were like ninth on the ladder. They're not.
What, Brizzy?
Yeah.
Yeah, no,
they've won three games.
Yeah, they're shocking.
They are miles behind. And Adelaide, well, considering the start Adelaide's had, they've kind of clawed back some respect, right? And, you know, they've played a pretty good game against Brisbane. But Brisbane is, I think, like the shocking story of the year.
Yeah, not legit, man.
I mean, they're not even like guaranteed for finals.
No.
This is a team that nearly won the flag, man.
Yeah, far from it, man. They have to do like a Carlton style run.
Yeah.
And they're going to have to hope that one of these really good teams comes out.
Can you read out the top eight?
All right. So it's Sydney, Geelong, Essendon, Melbourne, top four.
Yeah.
And then GWS, Port, Carlton and Collingwood. Who's going to go out?
Well, that's right. The obvious one you'd say is Essendon because they haven't backed it up. They haven't made finals last year. Yeah. But let's say that they're good enough to make it this year. Who's ninth or who the other teams?
Freo, 20 points. Gold Coast, 20 points. They're the next two. And then it drops off Western Bulldogs, Adelaide and then Brizzy.
They might not even make it.
No, but why would they when they do have so many injuries? I don't think it's their year, to be honest with you.
Who's their injuries?
Yeah.
Well, they
look, it's all the fringe players, like Coleman's out, Answorth.
I don't think Coleman's a fringe player. I think he's a gun, right? But you're right. The dudes, you know, Darcy Gardner, Lincoln McCarthy, those structurally
ACLs
important.
Three ACLs they've got.
Tom Duday as well. Like he probably would have provided them with something.
Ashcroft hasn't played all year.
Yeah. Stasevich now has gone down his calf. Like,
I don't know, man. If those injuries are enough to justify it.
Hey, what about this one, Zach Bailey?
Oh, never mind.
Look, I get what you're saying. Yeah. They're not their like main reasons for.
Oh,
winning
Bailey's
games.
A gun, and so is
Ashcroft.
Well, look, Ashcroft hasn't played.
The reality is as well. Like Cameron's not been good. He's been poor this year. Hipwood's regressed massively. He's shocking. They're playing him up the ground. They're playing him up the ground like Jeremy Cameron or Charlie Kerner just to get him out of the forward line. Not because he's contributing up the field, right? So they're just not clicking anymore. They don't have that fear in their forward line anymore.
They don't have the precision, the efficiency, no.
No, their defense is really just Harry Andrews carrying.
Yeah.
And their on-ballers, obviously we know how good Neil and
Dunkley,
McLuggage and Dunkley are, but okay, a lot of teams have a good couple of midfielders. Yeah. So for me, there's just not enough talent, or like, I don't know about you guys, like the last few years, the fear I would have of Brisbane attacking you was probably the scariest attack in the league.
Yeah.
Mm. It's just not anymore.
Yeah. So it's like, take your pick. It's like, is it going to be McCarthy? Is it going to be Danaher? Is it going to be like Cameron running it at the back? Remember when they would smash us at the back?
Yeah.
Mm.
This doesn't happen
anymore. They're just not scoring enough.
They'd kill you off turnover last year, but they're not doing that.
No.
Mm.
And any team in that middle pack or higher looks at Brisbane like, yeah, we can beat them. There's no fear anymore.
Well, they have to find their way into the eight at the moment, and also beat teams like Adelaide, Bulldogs, Gold Coast, Frio that are above them as well. Mm. There's so much competition, man. I don't think they're going to make it.
No, I don't think so either, man.
That's wild.
Yeah. Look, I think, with Essendon just beating GWS, are they really going to lose? So they're 26 points, right? You said them as a team who could drop off. 26 points they are, and then Brisbane are 14.
Yeah.
How many wins is that? That's
three wins.
It's a lot, man.
It's a lot of wins.
It's a lot to ask.
Yeah.
Not impossible, but they're just not playing good enough to justify like hope at the moment, in my opinion. Mm. But look, Adelaide at the same time, I know we said which team's happier. I tend to agree. I think Adelaide, what you can say about them is a lot of players you want to step up are. Like Rankin has been exceptional.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fogarty doing his thing. You know, Tex is sort of like the guy in the forward line, but these other guys around him are starting to play more consistent footy.
Dawson's playing captain football again.
Saligo's getting better and better. Mm. Their defense, like McElhaney and what's his name?
Worrell.
Yeah. Fantastic players. Like they let, classic thing, like they let what's his name go to Brisbane that you just said him before.
Duday.
They let Duday go. Like I love those moves where you're like, yeah, take him. We've got this guy. And he just ends up better than the guy you got rid of.
Pretty much.
That's a good plan. That's the reason you get rid of some players and don't sign them, because you've got the guy cheaper waiting in the wings to play the next 10, 15 years.
Yeah. I think they got an end of first rounder for him, if I'm not mistaken, as compensation. Mate, that's overs.
And Brisbane gets Duday trying to get the premiership finally.
Mm.
Unluckily, it's injury that's caused it, but now they're on equal points. And Adelaide's happier. Adelaide's won it.
Yeah.
You know, so. Yeah, I think Adelaide, look, it's just hard to get into the eight. Mm. They missed out unfairly last year. Yeah. This year, it's even harder.
Yeah. And they started so poorly now to claw their way back.
Yeah.
You know, they're in the same position as Brisbane. So
Might be too hard. And look, they're a few years into the rebuild now, which overall, I think it's been a successful rebuild. They've got Dawson in, Rankin in.
Yeah.
The guys they've drafted, a couple of them are starting to show stuff now, especially those defenders we mentioned, Saligo and so on. So I think they're on the right track, but I wonder what it'll take for them to really just solidify that final spot.
Yeah, that's the key. Yeah, we don't know.
Because Tex isn't going to be the guy forever. And then once he goes, is anyone else in that forward line going to take over to such a high level? I don't think so.
The guy that you would have hoped for is Phil Thorpe, but he's obviously been
injured
out
as well.
So
yeah.
He has another chance to show that. But I think he has potential.
There's hope.
I think he's all right.
Yeah. And Fogg is all right. You know, at least he's a good kick. You know, and he's been a better contested mark, I feel like, this year.
Mm.
Something. All right. Yeah, should we just go into the tips,
lads,
and we'll start to finish it off. The Thursday is the Suns at Gold Coast versus – actually, no, sorry. The Suns at Darwin again against Geelong.
Are we a fan of playing these Darwin games?
I'm not.
Just because I know they're saying like to put a team there, but like the weather's always so crazy. It's almost like a different game you're watching.
It's a bad spectacle, man.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so who are we going to go with?
So in saying that, can Gold Coast surprise us? I wasn't a fan.
I think they can, yeah. I think they've got another level.
Geelong losing three in a row, though?
Well, that's the other thing we didn't mention. They've just lost two in a row, Geelong.
Correct.
Yeah, against good teams.
I love it when they lose at GMHBA because you know that they pencil them in as wins.
Yeah.
And when they don't get it, it's like, yeah, that's right.
They would be filthy, those fans. Yeah.
I would love for Geelong to lose a third game. So I'm going Gold Coast.
Okay.
All right, I'm going Geelong. So Dean has to choose.
You tactically did that.
100%. I'm surprised you didn't butt in, bro.
No, that's all right. I enjoy having the deciding pick.
Yeah, all right.
Think about Raoul and Anderson both have to respond from poor performances, mate.
Mm.
I think Geelong, though, are angry and they'll win.
Okay, that's fair.
I think they'll respond.
Fair enough.
So now, this game's huge, man. Friday night at the SCG, Sydney versus Carlton. I'm going with Sydney, personally.
Sydney over $1 favourites, interestingly.
Mm. I'm going with Sydney because they're that dominant right now. It's at the SCG.
Yeah, I think Sydney, I think it'll be a close game. I don't think we'll get blown out, but yeah, probably Sydney has to be favourite.
Fair enough.
I think Carlton, with their key forwards and their big midfielders, can actually do something. Yeah,
I think we can win. I just, I think we can win.
I'm going to go.
I wouldn't tip them.
I'm tipping Carlton. Okay. Oh, actually, we'll tip them. Actually, will.
Yeah. I like it.
There actually, will.
The next game is Collingwood versus Adelaide at the MCG. I think, yeah, I think it's go for the home team for me.
Yep.
Yeah, I'll give Adelaide a slim chance. I don't think they're unable to win it, but I'll go Collingwood as well.
Yeah, it's hard to go against Collingwood at this point, though.
Yeah.
So then it's GWS at Engie Stadium. Is that what their stadium's called?
Engie
Stadium. I didn't realize it. So anyway, so Engie Stadium versus the Bulldogs. And I'm happy to go with the GWS.
Giants. Yeah. I swear, I don't know what the stats are. This is just off memory. I feel like the Giants always smash Bulldogs.
There's a bit of a rivalry there from a few years ago when Bulldogs were making prelims and grand finals.
GWS stole Ryan Griffin.
Yeah, it's the Ryan Griffin
what's
Cup.
What's his name? Who's the other one?
Callum Ward.
Ward.
Boyd as well.
Boyd went the other way.
Yeah, Boyd went the other way.
Ward went from Dogs to the Giants.
Well, Ward was Bulldogs' captain, man. Griffin was the captain.
Yeah. But Callum Ward was a huge one, man, because that was like the young dude with huge potential and leadership qualities, and he walked out.
We played his 300th game last week, and it showed how many games he played for either team. He only played 50 games for the Dogs.
Yeah, really? He was super young, man. They paid him big money at like 22 years old or something, 22, 23. Like, great pickup, man. Mm. That's how you, like, if you're a expansion club, look for dudes like that. Not that they're readily available, but, you know, that's the type of guy you go for.
Yeah. But I will go Giants for sure.
Yeah. The next game is Saints versus Frio.
What's the max score going to be? 12 or something like that?
Oh, you know what's shit, guys? Yeah. So there's two games on at the same time Saturday night. It's this game, and then it's Brisbane, Richmond. I'm not going to watch any footy on Saturday night. That's sad.
Yeah. They're not the best. They're not fun games.
What's to watch in these games?
Right? They're not fun games. I'll tell you that. Because Brisbane are going to, you think Brisbane are going to go get Richmond.
Yeah.
You know, and then
I'm going to go Dockers, by the way.
I'm going Dockers as well.
Good. Yeah, I'm happy to go Dockers as well.
Brisbane, then, it's got to be Brisbane against Richmond.
Got to be.
Yeah, 100%.
Then Essendon hosting North.
Yeah. So we're going to go with the Dons, but you know.
Would be hilarious.
It would be so. It would be
top four Essendon. Finally, when they're like, are we going to win a final? And they lose to North. But nah, Essendon will win.
Yeah.
My challenge is, though, spank us by over 80 points. If you're that good, spank us, baby. I dare you.
Don't just beat us. Beat us by 80 points.
I dare you. I dare Jake Stringer to kick 8. I dare you.
Yeah, here's your chance.
Langford
bro.
Kick 6. I dare That's you.
It. Nah, you're not gonna, it's not going to happen on Jackson Archer, mate. He's got too much moxie, mate.
If you're top 4 hopeful or top 8 hopeful, spank us.
All right.
Let's go.
That was very hard to hear, but funny, though. Port Adelaide versus Hawthorn at Adelaide.
You got to go Port, man, surely.
Yeah.
I'll go Port, but this is my upset watch of the week.
Ooh, Dino upset watch of the week.
Not that that's been a thing in the 2 years of this pod, but...
new segment. It just pulls new segments
new
out
segment
of his arm.
Just for this week only.
That's it. They're West Coast in Optus versus Melbourne.
Yeah, Melbourne.
Yeah, that's fair. Easy. Melbourne as well. Yeah, no, West Coast, they're off.
Not the best round of footy, is it?
No, not really.
It actually is a bit meh.
I feel like 2 weeks ago we had like almost like the best round of the year.
Yeah,
the Greek Easter round was crazy, right? This one, the Mother's Day round, they butchered it around. This coming week, I don't know. The only good thing that might come of, you know, the Mother's Day round is when I get the weekly top score. But just update, man. Come on.
All right, to stall out just another 5 minutes, listen a question from our guy Chris.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So he listens to the footy on the radio quite often, right? And I must admit, I do as well when I'm, you know, traveling on the weekends or whatever. I don't even think about SEN, to be honest. Chris is asking SEN or Triple M, what's your favorite, right? I've only actually ever listened to Triple M and I quite like it. I think they're funny. You can hear the crowd. The atmosphere is pretty good. Generally, nothing bad to say about it. I think it's pretty well done.
Yeah. It's funny because like... SEN is what I always go for some reason.
Who's on it? I don't even know who's on it.
I don't know.
Is it Jared Whateley?
Oh, yuck, man.
Yeah, I don't know.
This is him voluntarily.
Like Jared's all right.
Yeah,
no. His nasally voice isn't for me. No.
Yeah, guys. No, I think they're fine, man. I think.
Oh, SEN, Whateley, sorry.
Wait, are you talking about
Healy?
Jared Healy?
Are you talking about Healy or Whateley? Whateley's the guy on 360.
Yeah. No, I'm talking about him. Isn't he on SEN?
Can't stand him.
Yeah, look, fair enough. Look, I just go on SEN because that's the first thing that when I click on my car that comes up when I'm going off the AUX cable and I'm going, you know, AM, FM radio, it comes up with SEN, right?
Yeah.
And that's what I was listening to when they said, you know, Jake the Snake Waterman, you know, you know, what was it, injecting the venom? Or, you know, he's the poison for Richmond right now. That was the original. That was from SCN. Hey, so from now on,
they've got him for life, man. They've got him for life.
That's it. I'm an SCN guy, man.
But on Triple M, you get like Brayshaw and BT talking absolute nonsense, which is hilarious as well.
I don't like BT's commentary at all, man.
I find him hilarious when he loses it in a close game. And he goes crazy.
When it's a tight game, he's good. But you hear him talking about like there's a team kicking, like they're just passing it across the field. And BT's like, I had a shower thought. And I thought that maybe, you know, like he just says stuff like that. It's like, BT, I don't care about you in the shower.
I find that funny.
So I don't know, man.
Nah, that's fair. That's fair. Look, BT's had his good moments like the Garage Man and stuff like that with Ahmed Saad.
Oh.
That was hilarious. Stringer. Yeah. Jimmy, look at Stringer. You know, that thing's, you know, he's had some good moments, man.
And then Boyd from the goal square. Yeah. Who can forget that?
Yeah, from inside the center square. You know?
Yeah, that's hilarious.
We know how that ends.
Yeah.
But now Chris was saying that on SCN lately, the crowd noise is down. So you're just listening to it just almost like playing commentary, whereas Triple M has the crowd buzz as well.
But the thing is, I was listening to Brizzy versus Adelaide on the way here and you could hear the crowd clearly.
Maybe it was just the one game.
Yeah, and maybe it depends on the stadium, like where they're positioned and whatnot.
Yeah.
Or maybe if the game he was listening to on the radio had no crowd. You know what I mean?
Maybe.
But yeah, no, look, interesting. Look, I'm because of the Jake the Snake Waterman thing, I'm an SCN guy. But now that I think about it, man, Brayshaw and BT.
It's funny. I like the color commentary, let's say. Like a bit of excitement, a bit of buzz.
Mm.
And a bit of nonsense talking, like they shit talk each other as well. Like if someone makes a bad call in the commentary, they'll reference it all night and it's hilarious.
They do. Like with Richo and stuff.
Like Howie and Darcy, like they just give them shit if they say the wrong thing. Mm. That's funny, I don't know.
As long as it's not Underwood and Brereton. Dermot Brereton.
In the game, Underwood, no, which game was I watching? It was...
I think Dermy's almost worse than her, man.
Yeah, he's a shocker.
He's a shocker.
I just don't want to hear your analysis on why the key forward should go up the ground.
Yeah, he's like look at the lead here. Look at the space. He's got to be leading there.
But you know what I hate? Because he always like... And you could just see Kerno, he just slightly changed his body and it just slightly gave the sun a different direction. And I just liked the way that he used the sun and slightly 15 degrees is all he needed. That's how he commentates. And then he always says like, for any of the young footballers out there, look at the way Josh Kelly, like, he always says young footballers. There's no young footballers watching, bro.
But the funny thing is
they're
well,
in bed.
With Underwood, so I think she was on the Collingwood game against West Coast. And obviously it's a Collingwood home game, right? So if the ball goes through this big sticks, you know that there's going to be a cheer. That tells you if it went in or not. Yeah. I swear to God, kick goes, happens. It's a clear point. She's like, and he's kicked it. No crowd cheer. He's kicked it. Oh, no, he hasn't. Like, what are you watching, man? Look at the crowd. Look at the umpire. Look at the player celebrating. Like, none of that happens. What are you talking
about?
She's
got a lot of losses, man. She's got a lot of L's, Underwood.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Anyway, was that enough stalling, Matt?
Wait, do you think that Underwood and Brereton will ever fall in love?
Look, they keep pairing them up. So
I think they're forcing them together.
Maybe.
My question is this, right? And just to talk about it for a little bit longer. Yeah. What do they need to do to get upgraded to the... Not the midnight shift of commentary. Like,
they're never going to do it, man. They're never going
to
do it.
But wouldn't you, if you... The glass ceilings. If you don't see the potential in them, why not give more games to someone else?
But did you listen to the pod a couple of weeks ago when I was talking about Lewis Jetta and how Underwood was commentating? She's not a new commentator, bro. She was commentating Lewis Jetta's first goal 10 years ago or more. She ain't got it.
But why don't they then say, you know what? We've seen enough. Let's give Lee Montagna more of a go. You know what I mean?
Like, no way Lee Montagna's going to be good.
Montagna's all right.
I like Joey.
Yeah, Montagna's all right.
You reckon?
Yeah, he's okay.
Okay, all right.
And Nathan Jones is actually okay either.
Nathan Jones?
Yeah, Nathan Jones, really? The Melbourne player.
Does he commentate? You wouldn't have thought it.
I haven't even noticed.
He seems like a bit of a brutish dude.
He's got a
wouldn't be able to talk, but
his voice doesn't match his
actually,
face.
I've got one more commentator grievance, and I've said it a few times, and you guys never agree, but I'm going to try to convince you, right? Luke Hodge, on that Friday or Thursday night game, he always is this monotone voice right when they're about to do the stoppage, like, yeah, keep an eye on top of Hawkins here. He loves push out on the contest. Or like, yeah, keep an eye out on George, Jason Horn Francis here. He likes bursting through the packs.
Wait, would you go Luke Hodge or Jordan Lewis?
Lewis every day. Because Hodge, he always says the same thing when there's like a forward 50 bounce. Like, as they're bouncing it, he likes to throw in like a final monotonous comment. Like, I just can't stand it.
Fair enough.
He likes to have like the last word.
Yeah, like as the game's just continuing, like, finish a sentence, bro. I don't know.
I'm not a fan of it. Yeah, look, I think we're still long enough. This is probably going to take another half an hour from for this to update. But that's fine. You know, I'll be letting you guys know, you know, with my Supercoach video.
All right.
When I get the weekly score. Fair enough. What's going on. But yeah, I don't know. Have any other concluding thoughts, lads?
Will Powell got banned for 5 weeks for a homophobic slur.
They didn't say what he said this time. But no, last time they did say what was said, right?
5 weeks is a long time to be banned, man. Yeah, I'm not condoning any of that, but 5 weeks is a long time. Well, you can punch someone in the face and not get 5 weeks.
We were saying in our chat,
that's
like,
true. That's true.
The precedent was set at 3 weeks. So, like, why is it more? Is it just like every time it happens, like, you didn't learn your lesson, now it's 7, now it's 10?
Yeah, that's it. Like, yeah, I think it's like because they just don't want it to happen. They're trying to stamp it out, as they say. But was 3 weeks not a stamping out enough? You know what
even
I mean?
Even 1 week is
exactly. Like, I don't want to get it's. If I'm a player, I'm not thinking to myself, oh, I'm going to say it this week just so you know, it's only a 1 week anyway. I'm going to say it. No one's going to think that.
It's crazy because even with like dirty plays in the AFL, like a sling tackle, right? It's not like, oh, sling tackle, we said it's 3 weeks. You shouldn't do it. And then next time it happens, oh, we told you. Now it's 5. Like that never happens, right? So
well, how do they assess the severity of what was said as well?
Well, without telling us, exactly right.
There should be a rubric of what words are worse than others.
I think the public deserves to know, and the other AFL players deserve to know. It's like, you know, I'm not going to say that next time.
Well, I think we should know, and we should know who he said it to as well.
Maybe there was too much truth in the comment.
We're getting more LDL.
Look, the thing is we're not going to say who we think the player was, but we all kind of know who we think the player was.
Yeah, no, we all have
If you know, you know. That's
what it was. Like,
if you're in the group chats, you know.
Anyway. I've talked to so many different people about this one thing, and they've all said the same player without being provoked. So
no way. Wow.
Lockie Neal.
It's actually crazy, though, how it's happened twice this year. Like, they've just decided it's ban-worthy. I wonder how many more is going to happen.
Man, the thing about this situation for me is like back in the day, sledging was like, that was like, it was applauded back in the day. It was applauded.
Remember
they loved
Brent Harvey used to get pinched by Ryan Crowley? Like pinched. He'd show the umpires after the game, bruises all on his arm.
Mm. But that's physical, right? But like we're talking like the sledge, like of saying the most smart-assy thing you can say. They love that shit, man. But nowadays, it's just not, you know. John O'Brien, can you imagine how, was he a talker? Who was the big talkers back in the day? Mm-hmm. Steve Johnson, mate, he probably wouldn't even have a career at this point, you know, if he was playing these days, mate. He'd be out every week.
He'd be out. Would we see him? We saw him at Chapel Street.
That's it. Yeah. No, I wasn't there, man. I was there that night, but I skipped out.
That was so funny, man. Like 2:30 a.m., he's just walking past us on Chapel Street, and it was me and John Lev. Shout out to John Lev. We see him, and we both look at each other like, that's Steve Johnson. And we're like, oh, Steve Johnson. And he just looks back and goes, hey, what? So he's walking. Who knows? He probably slept in a rubbish bin, I think, that night.
Probably, man. Shout out to Stevie J. He was one of my boys, man. He was one of my favorite players when I was a kid.
You wouldn't have thought that guy was the talented player that was on AFL.
No,
when you looked at him in real life,
he revolutionized the J curve, as they say. And now he's actually, you know, to some people, he's probably single-handedly ruined footy because everyone just does a snap these days. You know,
that's a fair point.
Yeah, but nah, he's my guy, man. Well, okay,
maybe ask him out one day, see if you can hit the town together.
Yeah, man, do some chapel apps, mate.
All right, so that's the longest stall we've done.
Are you the top
scorer or not?
It's don't worry about it. No, look, I'm just refreshing it for me. I don't care, you know, to say it on the pod. We'll find out, you know, when I do the Supercoach app. It's all good. I think we'll finish it off. You know, I got work tomorrow, so we got to, you know.
All right, wrap it up.
I got to, you know, edit and shit.
Thanks for watching, guys.
I know that was a bit unhinged, but thank you guys for listening, and I'll see you on the next one. Eh?
All right,
bye.
Jake the Snake Waterman has kicked his sixth. He is the poison for Richmond right now. Injecting the venom. I am a wet for Waterman. I tell you that.